local recordings. Fucking hell. Is that
God damn it. No, actually they fixed that. They fixed that issue, so it's not that big of a deal anymore.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
doesn't matter. See, we showed up so late that there's nobody here.
There's one person. That's probably you.
That might be me, though.
Welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams.
Yeah, so g'day everybody. Welcome to the Game of Nodes. We're one man down today, but you still get the pleasure of the three of us, Nell Schultz and Serp.
The pleasure of
so we come today pretty fucking unprepared. Our news guy kind of fucked himself up a little bit, can't type, so he didn't give us any news. We haven't looked at any news ourselves, but it's been a bit of turmoil this week in the markets. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that. I don't know how much we all care too much about the prices. We all know they fluctuate, so
I mean, honestly, other than the news guy getting a little fucked up physically, all my other preparations have been exactly the same this week as at all previous weeks.
None?
Yes. Right. Like I literally looked at the news sheet like at 10 minutes after the hour.
Yeah. So, you know, the news guy is usually the fallback for our unpreparedness weekly, we just shot up to 7 viewers.
Yeah. Amazing. Oh, I have 12 tabs open, so hopefully that'll move up a lot faster.
Well, actually, a lot of these will come from X because it's now live on X, so people scroll past and then it registers a viewer, I think.
Is that how? I mean, that one time we had like 250 on Twitter. I don't know how that works, though. If that's actually, does it just need to open up a window or something?
Yeah, I'm very
look, I have no idea. I don't know whether you need to click on it or whether you can just scroll past it and then it's like, hey, a viewer.
I don't know.
Then we've always had it down.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's no. That one. That one did fluctuate. Oh, yeah. Maybe it was an analytics issue.
Well, I thought it seems
Null wasn't here or something.
I looked at it last week and it was up only on X.
Oh,
it's kind of like like the pre-rug on some of those shitcoin exchanges where you can buy the token but you cannot sell the token for some reason. There's some fuckery there that you can buy into it. But then, like, you try to dump it, and it's like, nah,
like no, no,
low lick, can't do that.
Somebody tell me how to bridge out DYDX.
Oh man,
tell me how to do that.
There's no bridge back to
just bridge out like from Cosmos to
to Ethereum.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to be able to because it's one way, right? Like it's
why would it be one way?
Why it's a migration, not a two-way bridge. It's a migration.
Yeah, it's a migration.
But all the sexes have it on Ethereum, right? That's what the pair's on.
There is a sex integration somewhere. I don't know where it is though.
To what? Schultz to sell DYDX from a tenement token?
Schultz is just like vigorously typing, trying to figure out where the exit is.
Well, he's like, I should check to see if, because before they had the bridge interface up, they had those contracts, right? Those Ethereum contracts. And
they were one way. There was no two way.
It has to be one way, right? So how the hell would that work? There's not enough liquidity in Osmosis to do anything. Like $1,000 like moves at 16% or something. You can't bridge it out. So I'm trying to figure out, like, other than staking it,
You use DYDX, man. Like, swap it on DYDX and then fucking bridge out your USDC.
What's the liquidity there?
It's heaps.
Mm.
I mean, I've never looked at it, but I've never sold any.
I have no idea, actually.
let me check that out.
Like, I have no idea.
I did the same as you. We were just buying in and then, like,
I've lost interest since it's now it's down, I think, $1.50. It's down like 45% since I brought this topic 2 weeks ago or something. So this can wait. It's got some time.
Yeah, there was like a decent pump for a little bit there.
It was like $4.15 or something. It was up there. It was over $4. I remember that, but yeah. It's back down under $2.90. It's $2.99 right now. It's under $3, unfortunately.
Is there
everything's in the shitter though? It's all
I don't.
God damn it!
I don't see DYDX pair. So I guess
sweet.
You can't create it.
There has to be a pair for DYDX USDC. Remember says down only since giving 60 million to Stride. Yeah. Yeah. No comment. I mean, honestly,
I haven't given it yet, but anyway,
they haven't given it.
And that's, it was already down before then, but anyway,
this week has been pretty brutal. It's like 25-23% across the board almost.
Ram is pretty salty about the whole Stride thing. So he's not bullish.
Ram says Astroport has it. Does it? That makes sense, actually.
There's a lot up for voting at the moment on DYDX and P Stakes trying for their, they want 5 million of stake as well.
Oh yeah. Well, that I'm all down. I'm down for some liquid staking competition. So that's
the only okay problem with P Stake is that they don't have a very big market capitalization. So
yeah. Yeah.
Like literally, I think their original ideas, their staked amount of DYDX would have been worth more than their chain, which isn't ideal.
I think Persistence has an interesting place to be, though, because my understanding is they're going to start positioning towards being eigenlayer security providers, I guess that's how you'd word it, because they have a product for liquid staking Ethereum, which will then get them into eigenlayer, right? So I think that Persistence does have a true real position that they can take that Stride still hasn't quite gotten there yet for. So I think it's good competition. I'm supportive of Persistence getting some DYTX as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to have some diversification. I'm glad they went for the smaller amount, though. I think that makes sense to begin with. Maybe it'll help them get some traction as well.
What they asked for?
I've never been like, the initial model for Persistence. I was not like a huge fan of the original liquid staking of like Atom. I didn't see it as valuable. I didn't see any integrations for that liquid staked Atom. And all I saw of that particular protocol from them was that it was just a bit of a drain to the stakers because it was a bit off the top that they were taking and not really providing any value for it. So that was a little bit disappointing in the early stages of Persistence, and it made me a little bit bearish on them. The whole process is pretty complicated too, and the unstaking was lengthy. So to see them like moving into doing other stuff more local in the Cosmos ecosystem is good, but I think they've probably got a long way to go with getting some adoption in there and building up their token value to be able to provide that security.
I thought that the Persistence team was the same as the Comdex team for a long time. Or is there some sort of like cross-pollination there? I remember there's some sort of, I guess, propaganda at this point that they were the same.
Oh yeah, we talked about that here, didn't we?
I may be talking out my ass, but I believe that that there are some team members from the early days of the Cosmos ecosystem that sort of started with that Comdex team and then sort of proliferated out into things like what's the VPN one? So that VPN one, a couple of different like validator teams and some other projects. Sentinel? Sentinel.
Yeah.
Comdex, Persistence. I think they sort of shared a lot of the same developers.
Rama just commented and said that the Comdex team came from the P-Stake team.
I thought it was something more than that. I thought we talked about it. I should go back and search the show notes, but I thought there was something more in that too, but it could be just exiting and entering type of thing.
We probably said some shit. There's a million liquidity on Astroport for DYDX.
I see 100,000. Where the hell do you get a million? Oh, what chain? I'm on Osmosis. What chain are you on?
Neutron. This is on
or Injective.
Neutron.
Neutron. Yeah, that one. I think Neutron has the most liquidity overall, but Say still has, I think, the most amount of traffic, if I remember. It's some goofy, weird thing on that. And Osmosis is in there too now, which is pretty cool. Osmosis, the Osmosis DYDX pool only has 108,000, but the combined APR is 109% APR because there's an Astro incentives structure on it right now that gets 1,884 daily Astro. And how much is that? Isn't that like 25 cents or something now?
So 16 cents.
16 cents. So maybe since the price is down, maybe I'll stake this shit. Or I mean, just put it into this.
Astro Port's doing pretty well, eh? 124-ish million total liquidity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Daily volume, 6 million. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, inject, I think, I'm trying to remember what the biggest pools are. So total liquidity on Injective is 123 million. Neutron is, oh, wait, maybe that's total. Oh, that must be 123 million total. Is that right? That must be overview across all pools on all chains.
Yeah, 123 million total across all chains.
Yeah. 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 Neutron. Yeah. You're right. Almost $1 million of pool liquidity in there. Maybe I'll put it on the Osmos side to boost it. Boost it. Yeah. Boost. We work with that team. Like, they move very fast. It's really well run. Like, it's been a real pleasure. It's a cool site. I'm interested to see what happens with, we're talking to them too about when the EVM stuff comes on, say, which I think is maybe, I don't know, maybe this quarter. But we're starting to see some test net or some, I guess, what's the right word? Some test net or some, it's on Arctic One, but I guess it's some test sites for some of the DEXs that are coming on that side. And there's some pretty interesting cool shit coming actually with EVM compatibility.
I guess my thought is, what is the final end game goal of EVM compatibility? Just so that EVM developers can port over to Say or other things easier?
Yeah.
Because, okay.
I think it's kind of like, I think there was that news article that just came out. I'll put it in the notes if I can find it. But I think it was, I sent the note. Was it Sushi Swap or the other one? Was it Sushi Swap? Is that who it was? Somebody announced that they're going to vote on it. I think it was Sushi. But they're going
to
vote.
No. It's fucking Uniswap.
Oh, it was Uniswap. Okay.
V3. So, like, Uniswap V3.
So Uniswap V3 would have a Say outpost, right? So basically you could trade EVM based pairs with Say as an underlying. So you're not paying the gas and all that. It's like same thing at DYDX, the reason that they moved, right? So instead of DYDX building the whole chain of this bridge, like this whole fucking thing is, they can bring over that DEX code 100%, right? It's like they just basically repointed at it. And so that part is pretty cool. And so I think it's the matter of faster block times, no gas, less code portability, like 100% code portability, quote unquote, I don't know, whatever. And the ability to be able to create those environments very quickly, which I think it's a valid benefit, right? I'm not saying Solidity is the best thing in the world, but it's a valid benefit.
There is there's a few proposals or a few topics in the forum for V3 deployments, but they're all from late last year. So, yeah, like all the comments are pretty positive in the Uniswap forums towards this deployment. Like, I think everyone's pretty keen for it. They did a really big write-up for the proposal.
But that wasn't, was that them or was that like a, I don't know who did that. It was a VC.
Abdullah Umar. I think he's like part of Uniswap.
Oh, okay. All right. Wrong. That's cool. Or as the way today, a entity that has no direct ownership of Uniswap, but somehow we build the code for and somebody else totally runs and it's fine. Like, we have no legal responsibility, blah, blah, blah.
That's like, as all of them, right?
That's like all of them. Open source this thing. Somebody else uses DYDX. We're totally cool with them using that name. It's not us.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
That's the foundation, you see. That's not the we're just a lab that the foundation is.
If somebody takes it and creates one. So in that sense, if somebody else created a DYDX chain and marked it DYDX and registered DYDX dot something else and tried to copy it, would they have any sort of intellectual property rights?
I mean, I guess that first demands the question of, have they registered any sort of copyrights?
I don't know. But,
right?
But
like, do they have a trademark or anything on DYDX? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, that'd be expensive because DYDX is global, so they have to have a trademark globally. Huh? So why not launch?
But we don't DYDX own the chain.
The Dominican Republic or something.
Totally not us, dude. We just build the software. I wonder if that actually works. I guess it hasn't been really tested yet, right?
Okay. I see what's going on here. So they're currently voting on the incentives for the Uniswap V3. Yeah. So it looks like the consensus is 500,000.
I think like Uniswap and DYDX are pretty similar in terms of, I think, don't they trade spots on the largest DEX kind of by trading volume moniker or something like that?
How do you mean?
I just the number of pools and the amount of actual trades that are occurring. I think Uniswap and DYDX always like are top two type of thing.
Like on DeFi Llama kind of thing? Let's see.
Yeah, I guess it would be DeFi Llama. It would be the authoritative source.
Well, yeah.
DeFi Llama.
DeFi Llama.
Man, I really need to like sort out my camera. I need to get
at least your microphone's working. Wait, is that a new mic?
I'm back at
the office. You're back. Oh yeah, you're back home.
Yeah.
Last week, I'm looking at your audio. I'm like, oh my god, like why didn't anybody tell you to fix that shit? It seemed like you're on the wrong microphone and literally living inside of an aluminum can, trying to take out the echo from your shit. You got to can you buy a rug for that place or what?
Yeah, I've like we're gonna leave there, man. I fucking hate that place.
Oh really? Oh, you were renting it, right? Yeah. All right. Well,
we're moving north. So I'm looking for a house up in Brisbane. If anyone wants to sell me one cheap, it's not a shithole.
Oh, you are? I thought you had to stay in. I thought you had to stay in the south.
Nope.
For other reasons. No. Brisbane's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yes, but man, I tell you what, buying a house in Brisbane is hard. They are fucking expensive now. Like they've just gone batshit. So I kind of feel like we might be buying, you know, in a bubble, but
it has to be less than
keep it for 20 years. Who gives a fuck?
It has to be less than Melbourne, right?
Yeah, it's like probably not as savage as Melbourne and Sydney, but
yeah,
it is definitely like on a pump.
Really?
So
Melbourne is where your DC is, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll move our shit. There's another DC.
Don't complicate things, dude.
There's another DC of the same brand in Brisbane.
I smell a road trip.
It's actually a tier four. We're currently in a tier three and the Brisbane one's a tier four. So we'll probably move.
Maybe I'll fly in.
Hmm?
I'll fly in. Let's do that. We could do like a Thelma and Louise thing. We'll just go fly to Melbourne, pick me up, get a convertible, throw the server in the back. We'll drive right to Brisbane, wreck that.
Yeah, I'll bring the work bus. And yeah, man, we can do a road trip.
Throw it in the back of the ute, whatever.
The ute.
Do a road trip. What is that, like 12, 14 hours?
To Brisbane? Shit, man. It's like...
Can you cut across or do you have to go around? You don't have to go around like the whole
it'd
way.
It'd be 16 hours, I'd say.
Is there like an actual road that like somewhat goes direct or you have to do some fucked up?
You would... If you were going that far, you would cut across to Sydney. And then go from Sydney to Brisbane.
Because otherwise you're sleeping in the car.
Well,
it's literally just desert between those two.
From where I am now to Melbourne is 12 hours. And then from where I am now to Brisbane is like 6 hours. And it's sort of in the middle. So it's like 18 hours.
Wow.
But if you went like the coast way, the roads are a lot better. And you can cruise on faster, like 110. So...
I thought my idea was cool, but now I'm kind of second guessing that whole thing.
Well, you don't want to come visit?
No, you can just
I'll pick you up at Sydney at the airport.
There you go. At Rama's house. I'll just go to Rama's house.
So I get to drive 12 hours to Melbourne and then 10 hours, well, 7 hours to Sydney.
Yeah.
Pick you up and then we can do the next 12.
Yeah. 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 That sounds like a plan. Yeah. Fly to Brisbane.
Sick trip. That's a long way to fly to just drive in a car on a highway, though.
True.
It's not like, you know, the interstate in America. There's nothing to do on the highway. It's just you drive.
Just straight.
There's no like cool cafes with like cars on the roof or anything like that. It's just fucking. It's just
concrete. I've seen the movies, man. I know.
Yeah. In America, yeah. But Australia's like, we've got no highway culture here.
Look at Roman making all sorts of comments.
I was just checking to see that the video was still working.
No, I was reading her up.
To answer your question, Rama, no. I don't remember where you sent it. I'm pretty sure it was my PO box and that has not arrived. I think you might have been like rugged by Ben Davis. He's taken your money and he's bought himself a gelato.
Why is Ben sending Rama packages to you?
I think like you can't get the same caliber of dildo in Australia. So, you know, like the big horse ones.
So, but why is it going to you? Are you judging it? Are you safety testing it? Like, what are you doing?
I think like as an already doxed intermediary.
Oh, really? Is that what it is?
Well, no, I think it was because I have a PO box and he doesn't. So he can just like send it to my PO box instead of his house.
That's so funny.
Because I already know where he lives. So if you want Rama's address, just hit me up. I'll sell it to you.
To a PO box like 6 hours away. This is like Australia life. It's
inconvenient. Like, I don't know if Rama knows this, but you can just register a... we have these things over here called a parcel locker, and you just register the parcel locker and then you can just get it sent to the post office and then you pick it up.
Like, that's so fucking funny.
It doesn't cost you anything either. It's free. So instead, like, it's getting sent to me and then I have to send it to him. So
yeah, right. But that's such a weird Australian thing. That's like Schulze and I are probably 20 hours away driving. That's like somebody trying to send it to me. I'm like, no, send it to a gas station next to Schulze's house. I'll drive 20 hours over to pick really it up. it's fine. Yeah.
So Rama says it was a reason to see me, but he's coming to pick it up. It's like, I have to drive it there.
That's very kind. That's very nice.
It's very kind of you. I get to deliver your thing. So yeah, I guess I'm going to Rama's house at some point.
How come we're not getting packages from Ben Davis? That's a question. Well, I guess
you really
are.
Do you want packages from Ben Davis?
It depends. If he sends it to Schulze's house, no.
Yes. Send it to the servers. It's an excuse to see Schulze. Send it to the processed meat place around the corner from Schulze's house.
Ah, yes. The Tillamook Outlet Factory. It's very good.
You've just doxed yourself, man. At least I called it a processed meat place.
Processed.
Not really. I mean, everyone knows I'm in Portland or Oregon, so it doesn't really help.
Oregon.
Boy, I was really wrong on this. I'm looking at DeFi Llama. Number one, I didn't realize EigenLayer has 11.9 billion in TVL on restaking.
I don't really understand how that works because they're in testnet right now. They're not in mainnet. So what does that mean?
I don't know. It's one whale.
Who is this?
EigenLayer. Right. So, and then at least according to this, Uniswap has 5.8 billion in TVL and DYDX is basically 1/10 of that at 503 million. But that doesn't seem, I don't know. I don't know if this is exactly, maybe my filter ain't right.
Yeah. Maybe it's not TVL because that suggests like pools and stuff. Maybe it's just
trade volume.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm curious.
I don't
know
the shit bill enough.
Have you guys seen that Osmosis is planning to do, well, I guess it was released an hour ago, so probably haven't seen it. Osmosis is planning on doing Alloy assets. So if you remember like the bridge wars from a couple years back, Gravity Bridge versus Nomad versus Axelar, there was a huge to-do about not combining assets because it'd be too confusing. And now they're going to turn that into an Alloy, where you, in theory, have like one pool and have a bunch of different, let's say, ETH, like Polygon ETH, Axelar ETH, Wormhole ETH, all in the same pool. And then on the front end, Osmosis then only has the one asset. How do you feel about that? To me, that seems like you're making one bridged asset more unreliable
because how does that work?
I'm not really sure. My imagining is they're trying to... kind of mimic the way a centralized exchange does it, right? Because a centralized exchange, you just have ETH and you send on a specific network, right?
Yeah.
I guess the question is how do they combine it? Because for a centralized exchange, they're just using a database in the background, so it's easier to keep track of it.
Yeah.
I suppose Osmosis is just a database. I don't know.
That's pretty cool. David Rogers says, already works for gelato to injective gelato. It's not gelato, is it?
Yeah, David, we need more information.
Yeah, give us more information there.
This is probably, I'm following that link. I'm probably going to get like, you know, something bad happen.
What link?
The ing.glto.
Gotcha.
Except it goes to search. doesn't recognize that as a.
I don't think it's a domain. I think it's just a token. Not to point out the obvious, but
interesting. So, are you saying that Injective already has this, or that Gelato kind of merges? Okay, so yeah. It's just the Gelato token. Interesting. I think that's pretty cool. Peggy.gelato.nj.
So Osmosis is going to, so that's going to still be in the UI, all those types of things, right?
Correct. It seems like it's just going to have a single ETH. And what I don't understand is how do you then withdraw, right? Like, how do you have some level of control over your assets if you don't actually know what kind of ETH you have?
Right.
Right. Because I typically, if I go for ETH, I go for Axelar ETH because then it's easy to get out.
Well, maybe it's like a CEX where you like select it when you're withdrawing it.
Mm.
Yeah, that makes sense. Except what if, okay, but if you go to your Kepler wallet and you say, ooh, I want to do an IBC send of my ETH, right? If you don't know what kind of ETH you have, you don't know how it's going to arrive on the next chain. I'm curious what they're going to do.
My question is like, what happens if one of the bridges gets rugged or compromised?
That's my concern. And that's why originally Osmosis didn't want to do it. That's why Osmosis was like, okay, we need to have our bridge wars between Gravity Bridge, Axelar, and Nomad to see what happened. Now, Nomad, of course, ended Evmos, basically, because they got hacked. But if Osmosis had all three, then Osmosis also would have gone down by that exploit. So, in the example they show, they have ETH from Gravity Bridge, Yield, Frax, Axelar, and a couple other ones, Coinbase. If one of those bridges goes down, then what are they going to do? Like, how are they going to?
I suppose you could use it as like a like if they were like, okay, let's change the premise here of what the purpose of this is. Like, rather than having it to obfuscate the back end bridge, so that you know it's easier to use. What if it was this product was actually as a risk aggregator between the bridges? So you could at any one time see, you know, what the you could bring up the status page for that pool or whatever they want to call it, the aggregator. You could see like how much percent is Axelar, how much percent is Gravity, for example. And then like if one of them gets rugged, then you know the value that you can withdraw per token sort of gets distributed amongst the pool. So like, you know, if it's 30% across three different bridges and then one of them gets hacked, then your one USD is now worth 67 cents instead of a dollar.
Yeah.
So it's like a risk aggregator amongst all of the available back ends. I think that could work. You know, particularly if, you know, if there was something like that available, even if it's like UST, USDC, USDT, fucking, I don't know, IST, whatever other ones there are in there. And you just had like a big old USD aggregator. If one of them, you know, if USDT turns out to finally be like a scam, then you've got like some, you know, shower thoughts.
No, that's an interesting point. I mean, yeah. I do like that idea. Like, we assume right now that USDC Noble is more secure than Axelar, but Axelar hasn't had a hack yet, right? But Noble's getting more and more influential. If we can de-risk using USDT Axelar and just have like a core USDC, you're right. I think I like that idea.
I mean, yeah, it's just like a, I don't know, it's a brain fart. Could be cool.
It kind of, I mean, it does seem pretty cool. And the idea of Cosmwasm pools, is that a way of being able to say it? Or some sort of contract-based pool that has that bridge component to it? That's actually, I mean, it's pretty neat.
Someone build it and then, like, airdrop me some thanks. Some thanks, man.
And David said, sorry, this pool, I'll put it, if you guys want, I'll put a link in the show notes too, because I was just looking at different, there's a couple different Osmosis, Injective Gelato/Gelato pools. And they're all one-to-one pools. So the pool trades one-to-one regardless of price, which I guess that does make sense, obviously minus fees, whatever else. I was just looking at the contracts and looking at the structure of that and how that swap works. So it's, that's kind of cool. I don't know, until it gets fucked, like as Nell said.
Yeah, it's cool until it's not.
I guess, why now? Why is this okay now, but it wasn't then?
Running out of ideas.
Well, I guess also the experience is worse now.
Bag of like random ass ideas that sort of got pushed aside.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Rama says it's called a transmuter pool. That can't be the right name. You can't even make that up.
Isn't, that's what businesses do, right? They attack the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Make it as good as they can. And then, like, they've got people's bums in chairs with nothing to do. So it's like, all right, well, let's go back through the history books and find out all the ideas we rejected and see which ones of those are right. Salvageable.
Maybe this is a good idea. Well, fuck it. If we fuck it up, people will forget after a couple of weeks anyway. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Man, I couldn't even like recall half of the rugs from this year, like half of the scams, the rugs, the bloody, the bullshit. I couldn't even give you a list of five if you asked me right now.
It's day.
I'd have really to go back and day. Do some research.
Yeah, it's day by day.
Yeah,
all right. I couldn't even. Does this end the DeFi segment?
Is there our like
our first ever DeFi segment?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, do we have an operator segment? Can we have an operator segment?
Do you have some stuff to talk about? Other than us, like running across Australia with say archive nodes and shit in the Ute.
Well, I don't know. I guess I could. Yeah, we can talk just a bit about random shit we've done. I suppose. One thing I did this week was make a monitor for that bloody router chain, which was a challenge. And I was missing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, me too. I know.
Yes. So sort of fixed that up and went through the paces of going to find RPCs for each of those different chains. And I think we're looking a bit better now. But, you know, at the end of the day, it just turns out I had no root in the root wallet. And that was not good. So
you had no what?
Root. Root.
Route. You mean you had no gas? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I had no gas. I was out of gas.
You had gas.
Yeah, so the team airdropped me some gas and then it all started working again. So that was good. But it's good to be able to actually see it work now.
I think
airdrop when all they do is a send? I don't think that's the same as an airdrop.
Well, I didn't put it there and it appeared. It came out of the air. It just went boop.
Yeah, I need that. I haven't looked at it in a while. I know I'm missing. I think I have a bunch of chains. I know I'm missing. They added some chains, some L2s that I'm not doing. And, you know, actually, I think the orchestrator, that app crashed. And I don't know. I need to fix it.
It's always a challenge, right? Like when you start something new that you haven't got monitoring for already, it's always like, you know, it's going to be a pain to like develop that monitoring. It's like a day of your life more than likely gone. And you just like, when do I do this?
I think it's drunk.
Do I wait till like the weekend when I've got not so much other stuff on?
Like, is there any, how drunk can I be to actually touch this?
Yeah. Like, yeah, what's the sweet point for
there's
drunkness?
There's no keys here. So I guess it's okay.
is this a 6 beer or a 24 beer job?
Horcrux is like a 6 beer. IBC gas.
Horcrux is like a six like coffee a no beer. Job.
Yeah, exactly.
No beer, six coffee. Like,
I think my issue with sleep. Also my issue with that is like, I know that that isn't the most stable set of tools in the world, and I kind of lose patience on that shit, to be honest.
Like the bridge software itself is quite alarming in its verbosity.
Yeah,
and quite unhelpful in its. Yes. Failures. It just resets and like panics wrong. And there's like no messages that tell you what's wrong.
Yeah. And like, I just lose patience with that shit. Like, I just don't have time to troubleshoot their shit. Right. Like that's,
or like stare at a log for 4 hours and be like, what does it all mean, man? Need some LSD to make sense of it all.
It's funny.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
if that's on my list to do. Podcast, they would just think we're hopped up people.
Hopped up on goofballs.
Hopped up on goofballs. Well, you know, you don't have to do it. I've already done it for you. All you have to do is load it.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. Yeah, that's one of the benefits of this cartel is when you get involved in the same shit, hopefully at some point that nagging issue somebody else solves and you're like, all right, I'll just use whatever that was.
Well, that's the hope, isn't it? You sit on that problem long enough, maybe someone else will fix it. And you're like, I was going to do that. Oh, you've already done
this work. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Listen, not like you can't solve every damn problem yourself, right? You need a little help. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes.
That's what the Beatles said, right? Just need a little help from your friends.
Need a little help. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Were they talking about fucking router orchestrator issues in that song? I don't remember.
Oh, fucking Jake.
I think so.
Jake did show up. He looks like he's...
Holy shit. Did you invite him?
Yeah, I just dropped him the link randomly.
What's up, man?
Yo, I just came here to say a couple of fucking things. First of all, if you want to pump the price of Atom, that shit coin, that meme coin.
Yes.
Put fucking permission Cosmosm on the hub. Oh. And then the second thing is that any validator that votes no is not eligible for any airdrops. And that's all I've got to fucking say. Yeah.
Like, period.
Is that voting no on any chain ever? Yeah. No more airdrops.
No, they're just,
no votes on any chain.
Anyone who votes no on permission Cosmosm does not get a fucking airdrop. Oh. That's all I got to say.
I think that only.
Peace out. Vote yes for permission Cosmosm on the hub, or the Cosmos hub will be more irrelevant than it already is. Peace.
See ya.
See ya.
Hell yeah.
What the fuck? You heard it here first, folks. Vote yes. Is that already?
He was here, right? Did I just imagine that, or he was here?
Did you?
Is that a 6 beer or a 24 beer? Fucking mic drop right there.
I think there was some beers involved with that mic drop. But is this a proposal I don't know about?
Or? Yeah, it came back. Actually, Rama put it in the news last week or 2 weeks ago. Actually, right? Or is it already over? It must be over because it was in the news. Like I thought, like 2 weeks ago. Oh, Ben Davis says five days ago. So maybe it was last week. But yes, it's back for what is this round three? Round four, maybe?
It's round three, yeah. Last one, I think it was Prop 69 was the last one, which is pretty nice.
Hey, yo. Where are we now? What prop is
this? I'm surprised they didn't wait till or just put in like a whole heap of trash in between to get it up to 420.
Rama says, it was in the news. Hub has 6 month voting period. No shit. I felt like it was 2 weeks ago because that wasn't even on last week. But it is it still active? So it must be still active, eh? And let me get the damn prop. So y'all vote yes. Because otherwise Jake's gonna inhabit your dreams.
Jake may have had some wine tonight.
He's gonna come in your bedroom at night. Let me find the
$8.95.
Sure. Ooh, it's on the fucking edge right now. How much time do we have left? It's also replacing another prop that had the same data without details. That's always a good sign, is when you vote the same thing multiple times because there's no details. 27% turnout. Quorum is 40% right now. No's have 29%. Yes have 27.7. Who's vetoing this shit?
So it's passing? Not passing.
It is not passing today. Who is voting no on a validator perspective? Who could we call out? Anybody we care about? No.
Stake Lab is voting no.
Game is voting no. Our game.
Why would the Juno Whale vote no?
I don't know.
Answer me that.
How's that game chain going anyway?
They stopped.
It never eventuated.
Yeah.
DED.
Let's see. The big yeses. Look at the huge Lavender 5 icon showing up here. That looks good, Schultzy.
That does look good.
It does. Is that you guys have 6.7%? You guys have 6.7% in the hub?
No.
Of the voting. Of the voting.
Yeses.
Yeah.
6.7% on the hub would be...
You wouldn't be on this fucking podcast, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's see, post him and friends.
Up in his skyscraper.
Exactly, looking down.
That's right. One in doubt, pinkies out.
Peasants on your...
Peasants.
Osmosis chains.
Ugh. 84 out of 180 validators voted so far. Cool. How much time is left anyway? 5 days. March 25th. How long? What the fuck? Is this a 2-week voting period in this chain?
It's a long time. What?
Yeah, it is longer. I think it's 3 weeks. Isn't it 3 weeks?
Holy shit. Like they're block times. Hey, yo.
Well, Adam is still the original vision, right? 5-second block times, fucking a month of voting.
0% APR. Yeah, no decisions. Yeah.
And like, you know, $20 million a year of development to produce a fucking 5-second block time with nothing in it.
Who voted? Let's see. Who abstained? Game voted no. Oh, I can't sort by answer. That's really annoying. Post-human voted yes. Who else? Anybody in here? Kepler voted yes. 11-5. March 27th voted yes. Yeah. So I guess you got to vote yes. Get this thing turned around. Some big validator voted no just recently because it actually hit a huge pump to turn this negative. So I don't know who that is. But yeah, I guess you guys got to vote yes or no. It must have been a game that actually voted just recently no. So yeah, do it.
Yeah, well,
just vote. Don't let fucking validators vote for you. Just if you listen to this podcast and you own tokens, go fucking vote.
All the Adam whales. I don't want to be watching this podcast.
Fucking Cosmos governance as elected officials blows. Go vote your tokens. Don't put it in the hands of validators. Go do something with your stake tokens. Make it happen.
How many people like? Do you think there's a lot of community people out there voting? I don't think there are. I think they just.
Well, I was just thinking about that because in the past, MintScan never showed that, but I think in MintScan 2, it does break it out, right? Doesn't it show like validator votes versus actual? So, oh yeah, it does actually. So voted accounts, 84 of 180 validators voted, and 61,558 voted accounts have voted, which is actually pretty freaking impressive to be honest.
That sounds like bot numbers to me.
It could be. I mean, it is turning. That's 41,000 yeses for a total of 18.44 million atoms staked. That's actually a reasonable, quite good number, but it's probably bots. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's not bots, but at least, hey, baby steps, baby. At least it's not just 180 validators.
And to be fair, it's not necessarily bad that it's bot. Like, let's say if I had a million atom, which I don't, I would definitely have it in a bunch of different wallets and have a bot manage it for me. I would vote once and then the bot would replicate it, right? Yeah. Like, I don't want to do it the same.
I wish there was a chain out there that was just AI managed. It would just read the room and, you know, just do all of its own governance based on some large language model.
I thought, didn't we talk about this? Like writing a bot that like waits till 1 hour before the proposal's done and then look at the stake and just vote the winner and be done.
No, man, totally built into the chain.
Oh yeah. Like I don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Module. It comes up with its own ideas and makes its own decisions.
Yeah.
And you're just along for the ride, baby.
Yeah. Like go read Twitter and shit.
So you're just going to chain that becomes like ultra racist, right wing, fucking
right off the bat. About nine.
And then when you question it, it says, I can do better. One chain.
And David says something like 20% are certainly airdrop farming bots based on numbers done previously. So those are, that would be, but they're staked, right? I guess they must be staked if they're airdrop farming bots, right?
Like my question is Adam still relevant for airdrops? Like I remember the last cycle, it was pretty relevant for airdrops because it was, you know, the basis of the ecosystem. But now, like, I don't know that it is. There's activities are sort of based around other chains. You know,
actually, being
an Adam OG now is starting to look more like your old guard money instead.
Yeah, now you have to hold a bad kid, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, bad kid is, you know, I think holding a bad kid is probably more profitable than holding Adam. Quote that one.
Probably.
Quote that one for the fucking website. Yeah. But right now, bad kid holders might be, and Ben Davis says Tia as well. Celestia might be the same.
Yep. Celestia got Dimension and I think Altlayer. Altlayer is supposed to be pretty big.
What are you talking about? The W airdrop?
No. Altlayer.
What is Altlayer?
I think it's new L2 on Ethereum. I'm not entirely sure though.
And Celestia holders are in that?
Yeah. Well, Stakers, but yeah. Yeah.
Or Celestia Stakers, I should say. Yeah. I don't know jack shit about Celestia still. What's the anyway, I don't know, get into it.
Ben Davis says holding Adam is not profitable. I don't agree. If you're like a if you're old money Adam,
dude,
that bought it at 0.1 cents. You're farming the inflation. I think it is plenty profitable with your fucking 20 million staked coins. Like, it's
how much Adam do you have?
The inflation, rain, hail, or shine from your $10,000 investment 5 years ago. I think you're probably still doing pretty good. Maybe it's not profitable if you buy it today and stake it. Like, what is it? It's still, doesn't Adam float up to like 20% inflation though? It doesn't.
No, not anymore. There's a max inflation that was put up fairly recently. So the staking rewards from Atom are quite lower than they were. What's funny, too, is actually reducing the APR resulted in the price of Atom going down.
Did it? Imagine.
That's DeFi, baby.
Well, it already had pretty deep liquidity, right? So people draw these conclusions that reducing inflation will make the price go up because it would reduce the sell pressure from inflation. But if the volume is actually not that big from sell pressure from inflation, it doesn't really hold true anymore. So,
so inflation.
People don't want it as much because they're not able to farm the inflation. So,
yeah, it looks like it floats between 7% and 10%. Ben Davis's APR needs to be up only. It's exactly right. Oh man, it's funny.
I mean, 7% to 10% is still
it's decent. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Although, you know, what's interesting now is that a lot of these network inflations are actually sort of becoming around similar to what you get on fiat now. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic. Usually, you know, back in the day, during the down only trend of interest rates around the planet, part of the allure of crypto was that you could make a better return just by staking than what you could on, you know, fiat with the risk of your token price risk. But now you've got token price risk for a return that's similar to what you can get IRL. Might change the dynamic a little bit over time.
That's why I'm so excited about this Ethereum staking structure that we're talking about maybe doing is really getting back into that 1.5% APR, which is, or whatever that is, 1.6%. That sounds amazing. Let's do that.
I mean, it rustles my jimmies. Let me tell you what.
I mean, if you're not getting hosed by inflation, you're not living.
5% is right. Yeah. 5% fiat, fuck that. Let's do 1% in a totally volatile token price that could lose 10% overnight. I think that looks amazing. Let's do that.
What is Rama say for the website? At the news item. Did he put up news? I thought he didn't.
I don't know. Oh yeah, that's what that's what we were talking about. Is broken.
Is he retrospectively adding news just so he can say, "Oh, you didn't read the news"?
Probably.
Holy shit! There is news here. I thought you said about do the news.
But there's nothing about what we're talking about. So what's the difference?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. This third point, you want to do news?
Let's do some. I mean, look, if Rama has taken the time to put some shit in here after fucking himself up.
Did he type this in one hand?
Don't read any of it. That's going to be a bit of a slap in the dick.
Did he peck this out with his nose or anything? Or like how fucked up is he?
Well, I don't know. He messaged me yesterday saying, look, man, I'm lame. I can't do anything. I just want to watch TV and drink beer with my one good hand. But now he's just like been in the chats, prolifically typing out these comments. And like, well, he's probably retrospectively gone back and done some news just so he can, you know, has the excuse. I've done the news. I can type my comments.
Life finds a way.
I healed overnight.
Ben Davis is writing with his John Thomas.
What the hell is a
joke? Oh my goodness. Take a guess.
First news item, news guy's broken collarbone trying to get something in now. Oh.
He's a bit of a tragedy magnet, right? Seems like every week there's always something going on.
Yeah, it's like I'm waiting it's dangerous for out there. My homework.
It's dangerous out there in the Yava. You never know what's gonna happen.
You should have seen the fucking shit ass bike that he was riding when he. I thought he was shitcoin rich, and he's like out here fucking riding a ghetto tricycle.
Was it like a bicycle or like a motorcycle?
No, it was a pretty like retro looking motorcycle, made from possibly just like salvaged steel from the ground. And
did he wipe out on his motorcycle?
Lawnmower motor. Hey.
Did he wipe out on his motorcycle?
I feel like that's probably what happened. He sent me a picture of a broken collarbone and then this picture of this fucking rural, like, motorized skate bicycle. It was...
was it all fucked up?
Yeah. No, it wasn't. It was like, it looked mint. It looked like it was about to advertise on, shit bikes. sales.com.au
.au. So he took the brunt of the damage is what you're saying?
He definitely broke the bike's fall.
Yeah.
He inserted himself between the wall and the cycle.
Yeah, don't scratch the paint.
All right, hit us with a news item, Serp. I feel like you've skimmed him.
Fuck, have I? I really haven't. Well, the maybe we could do the Well, you want? I don't even know if there's one here that we just recently talked about, but maybe this third one. There is a new token called YOP token, which is YOP on Neutron, which is really kind of pissing it off. It looks like it came out of Strange Clan or Passage or whatever the hell it's called now, and that's super annoying. We totally should have done this. Pesky meme coiners have ruined the one sacred thing Cosmos had going for it. The YOP has been stolen and soiled with dirty meme coinery. What will Game of Nodes do now? I mean, honestly, if we were going to register one, we'd probably register Shill, right? But, or we should register both and put it into a pool with YOP and Shill. Like, what the fuck? That's a really good idea. We totally should have done that. So I'm really annoyed that this YOP exists. That's a really good token name.
Yeah. You know, technically they own it because the YOP originated out of that project anyway. So,
Whoa.
We proliferated it. It originated out of there, yeah.
It originated out of what?
Out of Strange Clan, I think. Strange Clan, yeah.
Oh, it
Strange
did?
Clan Discord, yeah. It's where it originated. I was there. I saw it seed.
Really?
Yeah.
I totally thought this it was might, something this might away make from... you happy.
Crypto Cedo was probably like one of the biggest proliferators of it in the early days.
Oh, God.
Do you feel dirty now?
Or? I feel... I gotta go wash my feet. I didn't know that. That's really
Yeah, man. Get your Cosmos history right here.
Oh, shit.
You would have known it if you were there. If you were an OG Strange Clan fucking
I am.
NFT holder. Like,
oh, I'm not an NFT holder. No, I wouldn't. No, I didn't buy that, but I'm a we're Passage. Strange. Was it Strange Clan or Passage? It was Passage, right? Or were they was Strange Clan a chain
too? It started out as Strange Clan, and then they brought the chain Passage to support their ecosystem.
Right.
Yeah. And, I got my $400 JPEG, which I don't even know where it is now, probably.
From what? From a drop or something? Or you bought it?
No, I bought it.
You bought a $400 JPEG?
Yeah. It was like peak. It was peak FOMO season, man, in 2021.
Listen, don't judge me.
Everyone's like, ah.
I still have a Passage validator running somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You would have got an airdrop then at some point of some Passage token.
Sure. Sure. We're in there. It doesn't make any noise. So there it is. It's still humming away somewhere. I had no idea about the YOP integration here or the history. I feel dirty.
Yeah. Well, now you know. So Noble announces the second round of its natively issued assets. And like the second, I feel like that should be worded as the second asset, not the second round. But anyway, so this time it's onboarding Frax with a market cap of 380 million. They're hoping to bring some of that to the Cosmos. So there you go. Well, Frax, anyone know what Frax is?
No.
I feel like Schiltzy would. He's more of like a ecosystem diversity hire over here.
Let's see.
Ecosystem diaper.
So Frax, The only thing I really know about Frax is they have ways of buying off-chain assets. Like there's Frax Gold. I know they have their own USDC. If I remember correctly, I think USDC actually is issued through Frax in their mechanism.
Circle issues it through them?
I think so. Let me confirm. Hold on.
Is this the original Circle stake?
This seems to be a bit of a step down from USDC, to be honest, but I don't know too much about Frax.
Well, it's like we were talking about earlier, you know, you bring out your flagship product and then go back to the reject pile and then bring out the rest.
right. Yep. That's how it starts.
It's like an iPad. I feel like the iPad was on the reject pile. Do you own an iPad?
I did 10 years ago. I haven't touched one since like maybe 2012, something like that, 2013.
So I'm on my second iPad, right? And I don't think I've ever used it.
I mean, there's only so many things you can do. And like, it seems like you're right. They had a prototype of a large iPhone later on. Like, hey, why don't we sell this thing? Like, let's just make this into something.
You know, it's just pretty fucking inconvenient to carry around. Like, you've either got your laptop in your backpack or your phone in your pocket. This whole mid-format thing is just like pretty inconvenient.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, you're not maintaining it, right? Like, you want to do something with power, you get out your laptop, you fucking go hard on your keyboard and your CLI. And if you want to just like browse through shit and look at random crap, you're on your phone, right? Swiping away. And like, what is the point of the mid? Like, I don't get it.
Sit on the couch.
I can see them as like information systems to, you know, do things for business. Like, you might have something out in the open for someone to like, you know, swipe on and do some stuff to do with your business. But I don't, because you don't maintain it, right? It's not like you're not always on your phone, like on your iPad, you're on your phone or your laptop. And then if you've got your iPad sitting on your couch or something, you might occasionally get it out. Like, I don't think the typing on it's as easy as a phone. I think like the whole, like, because you bring up like a normal type website instead of a mobile website, which are a little bit more clunky on that interface. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I feel like it's like they're, you know, they went back to the bin of like ideas and like, fuck it, let's do this.
Well, at the time in 2010, the idea was like there, that was like when like the, what was the name for like the really cheap Windows PCs? They were like $300-$400. I forget what they used to call those things, but they were like
Ultrabooks,
something like that. No, but it was like an Ultra. Yeah, maybe it was Ultrabook. It could be, but it was like like under $500, something that was underpowered. It ran Windows. It was clunky. You had a shitty interface, right? And that was like all 2007, like after the iPhone and all that kind of stuff. And so at 2010, when they launched that thing, I get it. Like, now we have this bigger interface and like this keyboard, and then like, oh yeah, we're going to add a hardware keyboard to it, and we can turn this thing. And we're going to turn this productivity device and like replace a laptop. And then even like Apple took a shit on MacBooks, and before like they dropped the air for a while. Right. And it was all this iPad stuff. And everybody started to realize like, I actually can't do work on this thing. Like, there's no multitasking. I can't really swipe between apps. Everything's fucking full screen. I can't copy paste like worth shit. And they were like, I really need these things to do with Mac. Like I want Mac OS. And then the whole revival of Mac OS came around. And all this kind of stuff. So I think to answer your point, what the iPad's for is for watching YouTube in bed. That's really it. That's literally what it's for. Like, it's watching Plex or YouTube or some sort of streaming TV in bed with headphones on that doesn't affect your significant other who is watching probably like a Friends rerun on the TV and it's in your bedroom. That's literally what it's for. And so
it's for watching Linux training videos on Pornhub.
Exactly. That's exactly what it's for. Watching TV when your spouse is watching something else that you want to watch, but you still want to be in the same room and you want to be like, I have a connection, but I'm actually not have a connection because I'm watching Jeff Geerling do something on something. Or as many people in the comments have said, to occupy your children, which is totally true. Both my kids have incredibly broken iPads in really soft type of things that they can throw around. It doesn't matter. And it's fine. It works. And
yeah, that makes sense, I guess.
It'll get canceled the same way the Vision Pro will get canceled. They're both go that same way. Hot take.
Have you used the Vision Pro? Yet you're out here throwing these wild accusations around.
My kids have Quest 2s. Now the Vision Pro, what I would really like is I would love a real visual interface to allow me to use infinite monitors and screens in a 3D space to get work done. That would be fucking awesome. Like in a true, like plug me into this Mac, give me an infinite thing. I could put windows wherever I want, like shelves and this and that, and just allow me to do work in like a sphere with a keyboard and mouse, all the same shit. I don't need to move things around. I don't want to look at things, none of that shit, but just give me that. That's really what I want. But that's not what this is.
Yeah, the same thing, but augmented reality, see through the actual goggles.
Like you could still pull it in and out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The weight would be a problem. Your eyes are sweating and shit. Like you don't want any of that, right? Yeah.
Agreed. Doing away with, you know, the monitor. Well, even if you have your main monitor and then just like fucking 40 auxiliary monitors around you, you can just be like,
not even a monitor. Just like get rid of that idea. Like that idea. Like I want all these Mac windows that I, like there must be, I must have 40 windows open on this Mac right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So it's like not a screen. It's just like,
it's not a screen. It's whatever. Just like, here's my shit, right? There's a dock like at my knees, right? Or wherever the hell it is. I can still have a mouse. I can move things around. Like I don't need to be mobile. You can plug me into this, like a USB-C cable. I just want an infinite canvas. That's what I want. And a really light headset with no battery. Plug me in. It's fine. I'll sit in this fucking chair. It's fine. You don't need to see where my hands are. I don't give a shit about that. I just want, that's what I want, but that doesn't exist yet.
The Vision Pro is an automatic no for me because I can't type without looking at my keyboard. So
I was just talking to my son about that. Yeah. You still look down? Do you look down?
Just to get my orientation, like occasionally.
But don't you feel the what is it, F and J or something? Do you feel the F and J? You feel the dots?
Nah, not really. Not like that. Yeah. I never really learned to touch type. I can type reasonably quickly, but I'm not a touch typer. So
I think that's what, that's what's true. My son is, they're learning typing. And so they're trying to teach him to they're not looking at the keyboard. Right. And they're like trying to, you know, hit four W's and hit, you know, two T's and this kind of shit and hit three commas. And they're trying to train him that way, but he's faster if he looks. Like if he just like looks down, he's way faster. And so he's ignoring all this stuff because like, I'm faster if I look. So I'm trying to like build this confidence around, listen, I will kick your ass in typing, like even if you're looking or not. Like just trust the fact or trust the process that you need to go through to get to the point where you can go, like I could do TOTP codes on this extended keyboard on the right. Like without looking, like I can easily type in 6-digit codes like all day, which I do, it seems, around to be able to do that. And so you got to get to that point, dude. You gotta let it go. Put a cloth over your hands and just force yourself.
I can numpad with the best of them.
Numpad's
not a problem. It's the keyboard.
Is it the actual? Is it like the peripherals? It's like the hashes and tildes and shit, or is it the actual? Like I don't know where a P is.
I can get away with typing a fair bit without looking at it, but I'm going to make a lot of mistakes because I just don't have the mind map of where the keys are. But there is no fucking way that I'm doing like special characters. I got no idea where they are.
You're beyond Mavis Beacon and shit. Like just put a towel over your hands for like a week and just struggle through it. Like
Or the patience. I just don't have it. And then like, I'm just going to look at it again anyway. I'll be like, yeah, it
looks cool.
And then I'll start fucking looking at it again.
You won't. You'll stop. I guarantee you'll stop. Like I don't even think
it'll make me stop.
No, your brain, like it's weird because at some point it turns into muscle memory where like, I don't even like, if I have to think about where a P is, I don't even know where that is. Like I have to think about where a backslash versus slash is. Like I can't think about it in my head, or I can't picture it. Like I can't visualize it. But if I just sit down and start typing, I could do it all day, right? Without even looking, which is really, it's weird. Like your brain's like, yeah, I know how to make that character, but it doesn't tell like the rest of your being like where that thing is.
Yeah, no, I get it. You know, the thing is, I feel like I've talked about this before. I don't know if it was just talking to other people IRL or on here, but you know, the problem is when you get older is that you just fucking have no patience, and you just, your brain is like not creating new pathways. So learning shit is hard, and It's not like when you're young, like pre-21, you know, you pick stuff up and you learn it and you remember it, right? Because you're still creating pathways in your brain and it picks the shit up. Once you're like 30 plus, you know, things start to get harder to learn. It's not as you can learn harder stuff, because like you have some more dedication to learning. But then as you get older and older, it's like actually your brain taking on that shit is harder and you have to spend more time on it and work on it more. And I think we just lose patience for it as we get older as well. And we're just like, fuck, man.
Are you fucking learning that's going to be hard? Are you age-splaining me? I'm like twice your age. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yes, you know what's going on. So like you want to learn, you want to learn like, you know, some sort of new thing, right? It's fuck, I have to learn.
I'm learning Python right now. I need to. There's only one thing I've never been able to learn, which is really pissing me off, is Spanish. But away from that, that's like a mental block. I can't do it. I'm fucking miserable.
If you've already got a grasp on programming, fucking Python is not learning anything. It is just omitting shit.
It's more difficult than learning how to fucking touch type. Don't give me that shit.
Fuck, it's just like get a list of libraries. Remove all the fucking semicolons from anything and just start indenting stuff and you're there.
I'm just saying, you're saying that if you're over 30, you can't learn anything anymore. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, you can learn how to touch type at 50
fucking
or 60.
Going from a real programming language to Python is unlearning. That's different.
I don't know any real programming languages either. What are you talking about? What's giving me a real program? Like what? Like C? I did that 30 years ago. Yeah. Or C sharp? Yeah, for sure.
You've got a basis, right?
You got a basis. Fuck you. Basis. You got a basis, right? Yeah. Yeah.
You got a basis. You learned that shit when you were young. You're never forgetting it. It's like your touch typing.
Literally, you told everybody that once you're 30, you can't learn anything. Like you're done. Like you just roll up into a fucking ball.
You don't want to.
You're done. Once you hit 30, it's all downhill, folks.
What I'm saying is it's difficult and you get grumpy and fucking don't want to like do it. You just like, ugh.
Well, that part's true. Except if you're on your iPad and YouTube watching it in bed while your wife watches Friends reruns. But that's
why old people are still listening to fucking Waltz, because like, you know, kids these days when they have loud music, they don't want to understand the new culture of music. And they're just like, oh, fucking Waltz for me till I die. Thank you.
It's funny. It's the opposite in this house. I play really loud music in this house at like really inopportune times. And my kids, like, they get so fucking annoying. Like that's gonna be their memory of this house, is me jamming really loud music and huge speakers and shaking their rooms. So I'm trying to force a love of good music into their minds, even if they, I don't know if it's working. Honestly, I don't know. It's a mix. It might be. We'll see what happens.
I've seen a photo of your audio setup, and I'm a little bit jelly.
I was listening to some shit today, really loud. Sometimes you just got to blow it out. It was so loud, I actually had to open a sliding glass door over here because it was like the pressure was a little bit much. So,
sadly, my best sound system is in my car.
You should fix that.
It's stock. Do you know what baffles me in cars these days? They're like, oh, it's a fucking 12-speaker sound system. You're like, A, where the fuck are they all? And B, what is the point of that? It's like stereo sound, right?
Yeah.
Why do I need 12 speakers?
Got them in the headliner. You put them in the A-pillar. Shove it out like under the back seat. James says, blasting loud music work with my son. Well, that makes me feel good. I appreciate that, James, because I'm trying my ass off in here. That's too funny.
All right, so he rubbed off his music preferences by drilling it into his son's head, probably making him deaf.
That's my goal. That's my strategy. We'll see how it works, Cotton.
So, Gone goes to consensus. What are we looking at? We're in April now. May next month.
The end of maybe 50 something days from now. The Game of Notes crew, maybe all of Game of Notes crew. There's a rumor. Could it be? Could it be the first full GON meetup that has ever occurred with all members present?
That would be cool.
I hope so too. We'll see. We'll see. One of our members.
Well, it's going to be Gone and Friends, right? Friends have gone too.
Oh yeah. But no, of course, there's always gone in friends. That always happens. There's always friends. That always happens. But the actual four of
friends, quite a few of the core friends have gone. Will probably be there.
Yes. So we're gonna rent a house, which I probably need to do. But I think we actually have numbers now, which is good. So I can do that. And then trying to look for some events to sponsor, and I'm trying to find some things for us to cool to do. Trying to figure out when we're going to get barbecue. You know, all those good things. Those important things. So I do want to make it. I do want to make a trip to Franklin's. I have been there a couple of times. It is a bit like it's a show, and like you get the whole thing and like all that kind of stuff with their barbecue, but it is good. So
what is Franklin's?
Oh my God. Really? Aaron Franklin? No.
Your network no culture amuses me.
All right. Look, just Google Aaron Franklin, and like pretty popular barbecue place. And Aaron has gone on, like, done cookbooks and all this type of stuff, and he sells his own smokers and all this kind of shit. But he took a very engineering approach to barbecue, maybe it had to be 20 years ago or something like that. And he really studied it, and he tried to like build it into like a mastercraft and all those types. He even has a master class on it, actually. I think there's actually a master class on it. But and you get there, like, I think they open the doors at 11 and people line up at like 10 or 10, 15. And then barbecue is like the thing where, like, I mean, they start it like the night before, right? You probably start at like 10 p.m. for the next day. And then once it's gone, it's gone. So like by 1 o'clock, it's gone. And so you want to get there a little bit early. You hang out in line for half an hour. We'll probably go in during the weekday, which really reduces the number of people, right? If you go on the weekends, it's really busy. And then you buy $200 worth of barbecue, which you will, because you might buy, you know, a couple pounds of brisket, you buy sausage and all this type of stuff and the sides. And it is quite good. Because there is a methodology.
Pounds of brisket.
Yeah,
what are you doing? Sure. Taking it home?
No. If it'd be like 4 or 5 of us or 6 of us or something, we'll go through.
Oh, you mean together? I'm like, who's
not each. Jesus Christ, no. No, but it's like you order as a group, right? You're gonna get, and then it comes in big plates, and then you get a bunch of sides, and you get like some drinks, and I think there's a beer side. If I remember, if there's alcohol there, I don't remember. And then like you sit inside, you sit outside, you split all this type of stuff, and then you waddle out of there, right? But it's there's a couple of really good places there too. But Aaron's, it's like it's an event, like it's a pretty, it's not like huge or anything. It's still pretty small. And but the quality is quite good, and it's worth the event of it. If I remember, it's probably about like 10 or 15 minutes outside of downtown, if I remember. So we'll have to figure out time to go do that.
No, that sounds good. I'm down with that.
We need to pre-order and sign up like now, because apparently the pre-orders are 42 days out.
For what?
For Franklin's.
What do you mean pre-orders?
You have to sign up to get in now.
No.
Orders are going to be available 42 days. Yes, this is what it says. I will send it to you in the chat.
All right. Well, that would be good to know, because before it was never like that. You just kind of got there early and you waited in line. And then some people went home sad and you went, you're a moron.
No, sir.
All right. Well, it's good to know. They ship on Goldbelly. That's so freaking funny. Anyway, well, we'll figure it out. If we have to do something. Oh, order in advance. Place your order for pickup. Oh, we don't want to pick up, though. We're going to go stand in line like animals, dude. We'll get there early.
Fine. And like, not on the first, because I'm going to be out on the first. We do on the 31st.
Dude, we'll do it whatever day we want to do it. We'll make sure that everybody's in there. We're not going to leave everybody out of this. It doesn't have to be here. There's lots of good barbecue places in Austin. We'll figure it out. We'll make it happen. Yeah, so if anybody else is going to Consensus this year, 2024, end of May, reach out somehow. Null at bigballsblockchain.com and let him know that you're coming, and he'll set up a personal tour of Austin and the surrounding area.
That is a legitimate email. So
it is. I think it still works. I gotta fix that.
Email security at rhino.com.au.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. I think we gotta figure out I gotta start planning some shit for that too. But yeah, that's a good announcement to make. And then I think we're planning on launching. Should we talk about the Steakwise thing?
The what?
Steakwise thing?
I've been talking about it in my internal chats, like my my team telegrams.
So we're
so
planning.
Okay,
we're planning on launching a Game of Nodes Ethereum stake pool that will be on Steakwise. We'll have a little bit more maybe this week or over the weekend. that will be gaming nodes with some that will be stakewise and be able to allow stake Ethereum associated to that. And we're doing that as a for a couple different reasons, both internally and externally, both for us to be able to do some infrastructure muscle and some other types of things in terms of building this out for other reasons, as well as something that we want to be able to do. So we'll have that staked with at least one validator between the Game of Nodes crew and friends. And then we'll see if that grows and maybe gets into, we'll probably stand up 10 validators to start, even though one will be staked. And then we can hopefully grow that pool. I think it's a really good business idea to stake at 1.6% APR with a really highly volatile asset. So you heard it here first. And it's tax season too, so you might as well get it done. You got that reward coming in. What a better way to use a U.S. federal tax return than to get that back and put it into a stakewise pool at 1.6%.
You're really selling it here. I thought the returns on ETH were higher than that.
I don't know.
Where are you getting this 1.6
from? It's like 7% after MEV.
Is it 1.5 ETH on a 32 ETH stake per year? Something like that? Does that sound right?
So the straight staking rewards right now are around 3%. So that's probably about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then with MEV, it's around 7%.
Oh yeah, we need to figure that out for our stakewise pool, don't we?
Don't you know?
It's super easy. You just use MEV Boost and plug it in.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm sorry.
Don't you know that the ETF is coming? We're all going to be rich, yeah, man.
We are. We are. And especially it's the really right time to get into a Game of Nodes stakewise pool, because when that happens, then it'll all shoot up, and then I don't know, something happens and Lambos.
If any of our frequent listeners know like how we can get some reach with Ethereum stakers, please do try and contact us in some fashion. We do have a Twitter. It's probably the easiest place to try and contact us.
But that's the extent of the marketing for this, for the Game of Nodes pool. Anybody knows anybody who has maybe Ethereum?
Yeah. Well, you know, some people are connected. Some people, we are the epicenter of stability
within
the Ethereum ecosystem staking. If you want quality operators at
the same price as everybody else.
Price, yeah. But I don't even know. I don't know how the whole commission works there. So, you know.
And just so everybody knows, like they'll go, this will be a stakewise pool that's actually backed by an SSV cluster. And that cluster will be the three of us plus Artifact will be the fourth node in that cluster. So you have some good decentralized ownership of those validators. Three or four of us need to be signing to make sure that we are receiving those rewards. And I guarantee that all four of us will be signing those attestations. And it'll be a cool cluster. All the cool kids hang out in that cluster. So it'll be good. And then we can, like I said, we'll stake one to start, and then we'll probably have another nine that will be ready. As more folks add into that, we can always add it. And it'd be great to build that up to a couple hundred ETH or far more, and kind of see what happens.
I think we can run up to, 500 validators on that one operator?
Yep, 500.
500 per operator or 500 per cluster, do you know?
500 per same cluster. Thing.
Yeah, well, the cluster is essentially a Ethereum operator, right?
Well, okay, but me as an operator, I can run how many can I run as an operator across all clusters, do you know?
500.
Oh, okay. So it's 500 in one cluster, or me as an operator, I can run 500 across all the clusters that I have.
500 across all the clusters that you have.
Okay. I got you. Cool. Yeah. No problem. Easy. That'd be great. Easy.
I got it.
Okay. By next week. Let's get it done.
Well, the Lido, Lido, did we land on this? How we're enunciating this word? Anyway. Their next DTV testnet is upcoming. I think we've all got a stake in that now, right?
Yep.
Well, actually
no.
Mainnetted.
In. Yeah, he's in.
Because I'm in mainnet, they actually sent me an email and they're like, hey, this is really oversubscribed. We're going to kick you out of testnet. So unless you really want to be in it, don't message us because we're kicking you out.
What? Okay. But why were you in testnet? Did you qualify on either OBAL or SSV and we're qualifying the other one, or how does that work?
Well, we've been in the Obol testnet since testnet one. And so we've just been rolling it forward into testnet four, which is why they emailed us and we're like, hey, can you like shove off and give someone else an opportunity?
I got you.
And we're like,
But if you're, but why would you need to be in the testnet if you're already in the mainnet? Isn't it kind of a gatekeeper situation?
Yeah, that's the issue, right? That's why we were like, oh yeah,
okay.
He's already ascended. He doesn't need to be there anymore.
Yeah, quit hanging around like a fucking
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, jeez,
fuck off.
And now he's here flexing at everyone. Oh,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of curious about it because each Obol operator gets 150 validators to run, right? Mm-hmm. Is that limited? Like, do you get 150 and then that's it? And so then they enlist more clusters in order to add in more people, do you think?
Yeah,
I would say it's a target. If you look at their mainnet staking with the curated validators, on the report they have like the target staking amount and it's like lower than what the OG validators were there. So they fold up over here and raise up over here as time goes by to like level them all out. So I guess the target's probably 150. You'll probably end up with more and then they'll probably roll up some of those validators and then raise new ones up at the start as new operators come in. But obviously at some point, you know, if they're not bringing in operators at the same clip that their stake is increasing, then they're going to, the existing ones will end up oversubscribed somewhat before they can roll it out onto the new ones that join. So,
yeah, get somebody
presumably,
else
a chance. You know, everything I say is presumably. It should be a caveat. I should actually change that down here.
I'm also curious how you can stake as a user using Obol, right? Because they have 1,000 validators worth of ETH right now ready to go into validators, right? Mm-hmm. How do I, as an Ethereum holder, go stake on these in Obol?
But aren't you staking with the Lido contract and it just gets distributed out to these other, those individual, like you're not staking to a validator, right? You're staking to the contract.
No, you're staking to the contract and the contract is managed by Lido.
Lie.
Well, Lido. But I assume it's a different contract for the Obol cluster than it. So I think, does that mean there's then three different clusters? There would be like standard Lido, there would be Lido Obol, and then Lido Simple DVT, because there's technically two testnets happening right now, Obol and DVT.
But at the end of the day,
you're staking the validator, right?
You're staking the validator.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter where that sits.
I don't think that matters. I think it is just, it might even just be the one contract, and then they manage the amount that goes to various things.
Yeah, like, but a validator is a validator. You create that validator, right? And then that validator, you stake, once it gets staked and it gets entered.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if that's DVT or Obol or if that's an individual staker. You still have some sort of structure that is attestation to, I can't believe I got through that word twice. But you're still doing that process to that validator. So I don't know if it matters.
The validator is just an object that's the same no matter whether it's, you know, correct, Obol, SSV, regular validator.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I guess my question is, I would consider Obol to be more secure than just using Lido, right? Because it relies on more folks to ensure that the validator is actually signing. So there must be a way to choose to stake with Obol as opposed to general Lido, right?
I think that's kind of my thought. I would say that they would probably
publish the distribution to different protocols.
They do. That already exists.
And have it as aggregated risk.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find that page. But there is a page that actually shows exactly what that distribution is going to be, both now and in the future.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Cool. Great.
I just had it. I was just looking at it. Because it actually shows the layout of what the I'll find it. I'll see if I can find it and figure it out. Because it was actually showing exactly what that percentage it looks like, both now and then what that plan is. Basically, the number of what that share percentage is going to be. Here's a data.